are back. Welcome to No Direction Beyond, the Starfinder News, Reviews, and Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson J. Thacker, also known as Param.
I'm Alexander Agunis, the Everyman Gamer.
I'm James. I write Code Switch.
And today we are joined with a very special repeat guest, Paizo's very own, Jason Keeley. Jason, say hello.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. We are super hyped to have you here. And we have invited Jason to talk about a book that is right on the doorsteps, Starfinder's first non-bestiary expansion hardcover, Pact Worlds.
Hey, Jason.
What's that?
Did you know that as of this episode, you are officially the most prolific Paizo employee on this podcast?
Nice. Well, I'm happy to be here again and again.
Oh, we'll take you up on that.
Please. It means I don't have to. Your other books might come a few days later, but, you know, we can get it done.
Well, it's a small team, a small but exceptionally talented team. So we're definitely glad that you could spare the time to be here. Now, Jason, for those of them who do not know, can you give them the 30-second elevator pitch for Pact?
Oh, Pact Worlds is our campaign setting book, our sort of core campaign setting for Starfinder. It does for Starfinder what the Intersea World Guide basically did for Pathfinder. So we've got a lot of great flavor stuff in there about all the 14 different Pact Worlds and some worlds, some suns, some asteroids and whatnot. And then we've got just a bunch of player options in the back for anybody who wants to buy this book. We've got some feats and some spells and some races. It's chock full of good information.
Now, I have noticed the trend with that, with the Starfinder books especially, a lot of more player options in what would traditionally be considered a GM book. Is that something intentionally done?
Yeah, that's 100% intentional. Because we have such a small team, we don't have any plans at the moment to have a Starfinder player companion line, for instance. So we need to get in as much player content as we can, wherever we can. So we have it in the back of the AP volumes. We've got it in Alien Archive. We've got it here in Pact Worlds. We're going to have it in Armory when that comes out. I mean, obviously Armory, because that's mostly just stuff for players to buy. But every book, we want to try to get at least something in there for all of our players, GMs and player characters alike.
I kind of feel like it makes sense to do it with this book, too. If I remember the Pathfinder campaign setting book, the Intersea World Guide, that has a lot of player options in it as well.
Yeah, that's got some feats and stuff.
Do you think there are any comparisons you can make to like the format of that book compared to the book that's sitting so tantalizingly next to you?
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, a dinosaur. Okay. Jokes. If you know the Intersea World Guide, you'll notice that it starts off with an introduction. We've got that. It starts off with sort of going into detail for each of the individual countries of the Intersea region. That's what we do here with the planets. And then we go on to other things. We've got some GM stuff like some NPCs of different factions and some starships. Some of that stuff could be player options as well, but mostly it's just some stat blocks for some high-level fun starships. And then we go straight into just a chapter that's all the player options, and that's your feats and spells and whatnot. So the format is pretty similar.
Awesome. Now, when Starfinder launched, it was a little bit of a surprise. I guess not even really that much of a surprise, but it was a divergent course until recently, where the core rulebook launched with a setting information in it. And there actually is quite a bit of information about the Pact Worlds in the Starfinder core rulebook. For a person that has the rulebook, how does this expand what's already there?
Just by like tenfold, I would say, at least. As we go into a great amount of detail on each of the individual Pact Worlds planets, as opposed to just that spread with the giant piece of art, the giant beautiful piece of art, but there's, you know, more art on those pages than there is text. But now we have just sort of pages and pages of locations on the worlds that they're chock full of plot hooks. And then this is the thing I should mention. Each entry on the Pact Worlds, the last page, is a new theme for player characters where it's sort of related. You don't have to be from the sun, for instance, to be a solar disciple. It's just sort of that's the most thematically tied in theme for that world. For the most part, it's just got more of the stuff we've introduced in the core rulebook.
So many themes. That's like, what is that, an extra 14 or or 15 themes in this book?
It's 14 extra themes.
Oh, wow. Oh. That's tripling the themes all at once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We haven't really introduced any more of those before now. So this is just more themes.
So how divergent do you think those are from the themes that appear in the core rulebook? Because I always felt the ones in the core rulebook were very, like, they felt like very broad.
So they are. They're meant to be broad so we can sort of cover a lot of bases all at once. The themes here in Pack Worlds get a little more specific. For instance, we have Space Pirate as a theme here in Pack Worlds. You could cover that with Outlaw, but the Space Pirate theme is a little more pirate-y, if that makes sense. It's got a little more dealing with, like, specifically is sort of one hand has a sword and the other hand has a gun kind of stuff, and other sort of piratey nonsense.
So this almost sounds like it's more mechanical than, like, some of the other ones, because a lot of the other ones are, like, knowledge and skill based.
Oh, there's a lot of that as well, but we have started to try to introduce some different ways to look at themes, and maybe there's a couple of them that are maybe a little more combat focused than even the mercenary. Which is, I mean, not like focus, but there's a little extra little combat about little bits here and there. But for the most part, we are sticking with sort of ways to sort of use skills differently, ways to use them a little bit better, just incremental little bits of flavor for your character.
That sounds super cool. Do you have a favorite one out of the 14 new ones?
Oh, gosh.
Pick your child. Which one survives?
Can I remember all 14 of them? That's the question.
Well, whatever one you remember is probably your favorite, right?
Probably my favorite. Do I pick one of the two that I wrote? That's
maybe
one of my favorites. Actually, I will pick one. The corporate agent theme, for the sort of tied into Absalom Station, since that's where a lot of corporate HQs are, does have a lot of fun sort of like networking abilities and throwing the weight of your corporation's name around. It's like, do you know who I am?
That's really cool.
Like a power broker icon.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
James loves everything that makes his characters more famous.
Yes. Fame is something that you like is great, because at first level in a lot of RPG, you're like, yeah, I'm this cool warrior guy. By the way, I just got beaten down by a bunch of rats in a basement. So getting themes at least has a starting point to like why you're, you know, up to doing this. So I think they're a good trend.
I think
everybody knows me. I just got beaten by rats in a basement.
My second favorite might be the gladiator theme, because it has a great piece of art. Of this.
Art is very good.
Yusoki with a gigantic hammer, just screaming.
I must really not see this. That's reason enough.
Can all right, see
let's
it?
Take a look at it.
Then. Oh, yes, we oh, can yeah. see it. Because it's right there.
We can see it. It's in your hands. Right here.
Unless you're a listener. I'm sorry, guys. You're going to miss the art of the Millennium.
Look at that guy.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that hammer.
It's a big, angry hammer rat.
Yeah, he does. You can't. I don't know if you can zoom in on that. The face of the hammer has a rat on it.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm looking at it in my PDF copy.
That people know who hit the thing.
Yeah.
He's got to leave his mark. Oh, he's missing part of his tail. That poor guy.
He's a gladiator. He's fine with that.
He kills people for a job, Alex.
Well, no, but it's still bleeding. Like, there's blood everywhere.
That's why he's yelling. He's in the middle of the lake.
I'm sure that he has more than adequate workplace insurance to cover any sort of regeneration necessary. Now, it's important to
overestimating the Akaton insurance policy.
Now, it's important to note that this is indeed the Pact Worlds, which is where you guys have been focusing as your campaign setting, but Starfinder itself isn't limited to one star system. So
that's right.
So why the choice to put so much detail on this one star system when we're going to be launching our players beyond?
Well, the Pact Worlds is just dense with stuff to do. Mm-hmm. So we figured that's the place where you can always start there, and you can always go back there super easily using your drift engines to get back to Absalom Station. So we really wanted to make this sort of feel like a vibrant place. So that's why we concentrated so much on these 14 worlds and all the little bits and happening there and all the different political intrigue going on between them and on them. I mean, any number of campaigns could be set on just one individual planet of the Backworlds and still be a robust Starfinder campaign. So it's a choice, you know, and when you want to send your players out into the vest, that allows you to make up whatever you want. But we've already sort of laid claim to these 14 worlds, and we want to make sure that we show them to you.
Karen just wants more Vescarium content.
I want it too.
I mean, so far the pack worlds have been really fun playing through the Starfinder Society scenarios. Like, some of them do go beyond, but like, there's adventures on at least three planets or areas that I can think of that are all really fun and really like flavorful to that area and make you go, oh, this might actually be bigger than it seems. Because like with space, you're always like, we're going to go really far, and it's, you don't need to, at least for a lot of things.
Yeah,
totally.
Now, you mentioned that we could have whole campaigns on a planet. What would be your favorite planet detail in the Pact Worlds to post a campaign?
Probably Treaxis.
Treaxis. Now, this is not a strange place for players to be adventuring in. So what makes Starfinder-era Treaxis such a attractive proposition?
Well, I mean, because you've got, it really drives home the science fantasy part of Starfinder, because you've got these corporations, these massive corporations, which are on one part of the planet, which are run by dragons. So you can have a whole sort of Game of Thrones meets a Shadowrun kind of feel to it, where you're sort of maybe dealing with heads of state that are dragons, and then dealing with their sort of petty wars and their squabbling. Well, you can also just sort of, you know, have an adventure out in the snow if it happens to be Treaxis's winter season, which lasts for hundreds of years, and stuff like that. There's a lot to ground it and sort of stuff that you might recognize if you're coming from a fantasy RPG, but then you can just sort of go a little bit more nuts with it.
I do agree that corporate dragons is probably the most science fantasy concept ever.
Yeah.
But it makes much sense.
I mean, it kind of piggybacks off of the best JR with the dragon with the rocket launcher. It's like, you had to buy that from like a space Walmart or something. Like,
space dragon mart.
But how do they sleep on the 401k?
It's more conceptual for them now. They just sleep better knowing that they're sitting on all this information, right? I think a lot of the dragons of Treaxis are more information brokers than they are gold hoarders.
Oh, well, I mean, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
It would be really funny. Like, I like to think in my headcanon what happened is, like, you know, the dragons of old like to, like, lay and lounge on giant piles of coins. And so, like, someone was like, oh, yeah, well, we'll just buy, we'll make a whole bunch of cred sticks, and we'll put one cred on each cred stick, and we can just lounge on the cred sticks. But then people started, like, figuring out how to, like, splice them in half and stuff and just put empty cred sticks in the pile. So, like, no, this isn't going to work anymore.
I think they had a realization that the basis of money, so the credits or the dollar, whatever, is really just based on faith and in a way. Just because you believe something costs a dollar, it costs a dollar. And if the majority of people believe that, so the dragons came to realize, oh, all this gold that I'm laying on, it's just technically just metal. Why don't I get the real stuff behind the gold, the faith and the facts and the information?
Wow, the dragons are really smart bankers.
Yeah. I'm dreading to find out the dragon that got way too invested in cryptocurrency.
He got sent out into the void and is now an outer dragon.
Oh, no.
I guess.
Now, Treaxis, a lot of their race is featured in Alien Archive. Is there any support for our dragon kin wanting to be players in the book?
Well, there's a sort of dragony kind of theme that you could take that'll make you a little more dragony, even if you're already a dragonkin. There are, wait, does this have, yes, it does. It does have archetypes in it, this book. A lot of archetypes themed around sort of lots of different factions, and you can be a part of the Skyfire Legion, taking one of those archetypes that way. Again, as we've said before in the books, you don't have to take that archetype to be that part of that faction, but this is just sort of one way to be part of the faction. So there's that. There might be some good feats.
Well, actually, since we're talking about Treaxis, that's a good example of one of the areas, one of the few areas that besides Distance World had a fair amount of supplementary content to use. How did that affect fleshing out Treaxis as opposed to fleshing out one of the planets where there wasn't a lot of Pathfinder-based material to work with?
Well, what we did is we found a really awesome writer, Amanda Hammond Coons, to go and look at all of the Reign of Winter stuff that we had already printed, all the stuff that was in Distant Worlds, and then just sort of synthesize it and then move it thousands of years into the future. So I think that was the easiest thing to do, which is make someone else do it.
I guess it helps when you have someone as amazingly talented as Amanda too.
Yes. Yeah. She did a bang up job and basically it says made it made my work a lot easier.
Now that's a fair reminder that even though as Owen has posted up on social media, your name is literally all over this book.
That was actually from that picture he posted was from last year's Free RPG Day product.
Oh,
the First Contact. Yeah, for some reason I've listed in there five times, and the masthead. It was insane. I tried to get them to not do that, but they did it anyway.
They thought it was funny.
Yeah, good joke on me.
Where I was going was like most or many of Paizo's productions. This actually has a huge crew of authors and developers and artists that worked on it.
100%. Yeah.
How was that putting this one together? I mean, did you have a really great team this time? Were there any standout, awesome surprises that you got back from the returns?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great team, obviously. We try to get the best, you know, authors that we can get. So we had farmed that out to a fair number of people. And we had some freelancers that you probably have heard of and love, like Robert Brooks and... Well, I would say Liz Liddell, but she's also technically a Paizo employee. But some of non-Paizo employees did some great stuff with this. Think about it. Liz did both the Gas Giants, and those turned out pretty fun. I don't really fully remember if there's anything that really stood out. It was just a big book that I had to bring everything together and make sure it was all copacetic with what we had said before and what we want to say about the stuff and how it has changed. Just a lot of great work on all of our authors' part. I can't name them all here because I don't have them all memorized, but I could open the book and read them all out loud. You can do that too once you get your PDF. So
I could, yeah.
Why don't you do that?
This is a good
time. Want me to read them?
No, to yourself, the viewing audience, please.
They're excellent.
Read those names.
They're excellent people.
Check out. Yes.
Now this is a good time to remind our audience filming live in front of a Twitch audience. If you want to ask any of us a question about Pact Worlds or have some questions for Jason here about the Starfinder, please get those in throughout the episode. We will be collecting those questions and answering them. Now, you've teased some player options, including archetypes. Mm-hmm. What do the archetypes look like? What do we have to look forward to there?
We've got a lot of archetypes that are tied into a lot of factions that you probably have heard of, especially if you've played Pathfinder or have read some of our some of the setting material in the Starfinder Core Rulebook. So just to name a few off the top of my head, there's the Arcanimerium Sage, which is good if you like magic items. We've got a Skyfire Legion. We've got a Steward Officer if you want to be a space cop. We've got a couple. What's the other one? I could just look at them. Open up the table of content.
When you said,
because I got them right here.
When you said Steward Officer, I thought like, oh, space butler, because that would be cool.
No, not that kind of steward. Another Starfinder data jockey if you want to be a member of the Starfinder data files, and then. We've got a couple in here that are sort of a little more generic-ish, like the Divine Champion, which lets you to basically sort of be a bit of a paladin, a bit of a space paladin. And then there's one in here that is kind of does an interesting bit of double duty that Owen Casey Stevens was able to sort of get, as he likes to do, sort of like, yeah, I can do that. We're like, how could you? What we need to do is we need the two pages to fit in basically a Hell Knight archetype and an archetype that serves... if you want to be one of the Knights of Galarian. And he's like, yeah, we can make that one archetype. So we made it one archetype with sort of variable choice making. If you want to be like, oh, I'm a Hell Knight, so I can take one of these. And if I'm one of the Hell Knight of the Order of the Eclipse, I might get this. So there's some choices that you can make within the archetype itself. And that one's pretty neat. We had to fit that on two pages, though.
Now, that's impressive. I can't think of any way that those two would ever get along enough to share page space.
Yeah, that's weird. They're both lawful knights who wear armor, big heavy armor. So there you go. That's what they have in common.
Armor's great.
Big old armor.
Is Hell Knight plate a thing in the future?
We haven't given you. It might be. It might be in the future of the actual future. There might be something like that in Armory. I don't think we've. I keep wanting to look at the book because I haven't. It's been forever. Since I've cracked this thing open.
Yeah.
I know there's stuff about House Thrun in the core rulebook.
Yes, there's that Thrun gun.
This is worth the, gun. This is worth putting out.
Oh my gosh, yes. There's Hell Knight plate in this book. Go buy it right plate. Now. I'm just going to keep this in my lap.
It was closer than we thought.
All right, it is worth noting.
The future is now.
That like many of the books at Paizo, you guys had finished active work on this months ago before you even sent it to the printer. Yeah. So even though it's literally coming out next week, it's been done for what, 6 months?
Yeah, 5 months maybe. I remember this is pre holidays mm-hmm. from last year that I finished this up. We all finished this up, I should say.
So we do have a question from the audience.
Okay.
Made in a Sweatshop asks, is there anything you wished you could have brought over from Pathfinder into Starfinder but couldn't for some reason?
I have so far gotten a fair amount of what we wanted to from Pathfinder over. Gosh. Okay, so this is one of the things we haven't yet done, as it would be almost impossible to do in Starfinder. But one of my favorite archetypes in recent memory from Pathfinder is from Horror Adventures, the Living Grimoire, which basically lets you hit, I think it's an Inquisitor archetype, that lets you hit people with a big book. That would be kind of neat if I could make that a Starfinder thing, but that would be really hard to do.
I mean,
because they don't really have big books in the future.
With a big iPad.
Just a big old, tablet.
It's a pre-gap, like one of those giant monitored tube things.
Oh,
you just
CRT. Big, I don't want to carry that around.
Taste the past, future.
Oh, that's funny.
Iruvana is wondering, are there new creatures in the Pact World book?
There aren't exactly new creatures like there would be in the Alien Archive, but there are seven new playable races. That sounds about right. Or five. There are a handful of new playable races in here that are kind of newish and very weird. So check those out. Do you want to know what they are? Because they're weird.
Let me ask, is one of them the thing that, like, whenever I talk to Owen about, like, his Starfinder game, he's like, I'm playing a character I can't tell you about because it's a race I can't tell you about.
Yes.
He's literally been saying this to me for weeks.
what a jerk.
Yes. He is playing one of the races from Pact Worlds.
Oh, gosh. Tell us about that one first.
Okay. So we've decided to do some weird stuff here with the playable races in Pact Worlds. A lot of the playable races in Alien Archive are, for the most part, kind of humanoid, or at least the humanoid type. And there are a few that aren't, but for the most part, we basically have done that. So we decided to go a little nuts, and we started with, I was told to make write a really weird one. And the first concept I pitched, which was a concept that Owen and I had talked about, of a creature that's just a wheel. With like an eyeball in the middle, that was deemed too weird. So instead, I pitched a trackball man, which is this guy here. He's a little trackball guy who just sort of runs around on his little trackball, his little foot orb, and zips around. So there's a new something weird happened on one of the shepherd moons of Liavara that no one has been on because it smelled funny. And that's actually what happened. And then, like, these ramps came out of the ground. And, like, the Bantrids here have just woken up from, like, a eons-long slumber. And they don't know anybody. But they're real excited to meet people. And they don't, obviously, all their past information, they don't remember why they put themselves into some form of hypersleep. But now they're just sort of, they like to wheel around and they have their ramps and they're moving. They're sort of walking desks. They need to stand still. And they don't have a sense of smell, so they can stand their own planet. That's one of the weirder ones.
Are they the reason the planet is ranked? Like, do they give off some sort of, like, body stink when they sleep?
Even though they look like noses, they can't smell. Just something
I love this.
I came across. So then that was one of the weirder ones, and then I thought that would be the weirdest one, but it really isn't, in my opinion, because right before that, alphabetically, these weird guys who are starfishy things with eyeballs on their knees and just strange. The thing is, they're not exactly new, because you may have met one already. They are consummate shapeshifters and have been sort of hiding out a little bit here and there as common Pact Worlds races. But they don't have an evil agenda. They just think they don't want to freak people out.
They just don't want to look gross and they want to wear suits.
Yeah. I mean, if they have eyeballs for knees and they don't want to freak people out, they could just not wear shorts.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, how? Yeah. Well, they, if they wore pants, how could they see?
Oh, that is.
They'd cover up their eyeball knees.
All of their clothing is made out of the stuff that, like, the Scream masks are made out of. You know what I'm talking about?
They never left the grunge era. It's shredded jeans the whole time.
Yeah, I was about to say
time.
'90s grunge. Yeah. Nirvana taught them to see.
So
they all
from
have
there,
Widowmaker infrared vision.
From there, we get some sort of less weird but still awesome options, like a playable undead race, a playable race that is plant-like, a robotic construct sort of playable race. That's what Owen is playing. And then, of course, a familiar face in the Strix.
Ah, they're back.
They're back.
Do they still hate me and all of my kin?
They don't hate you. They just don't trust you.
I mean, that's fair. I don't trust me either.
Yeah.
So where do they live now? Do they live on Absol?
They live on Verses. A lot of them live on Verses in the Fulbright area, the sort of desert, always got the sun beating on it area, and a big old spire. That's where.
Do they have air conditioners of a racial trait?
Yeah. They're constantly fanning themselves with their own wings, so it works out well for them.
Wow. I thought I'd see Strix again.
Yeah, right?
That's like a callback to the original Inner Sea World guide, because I think Strix were introduced in that book, right?
I think they were. They're definitely in there. They were introduced. Yeah, it was something we wanted to sort of like, that's a very Pathfinder race when we wanted to port it forward. We didn't know stuff like, you know, although I love them, Tengu or, you know, or Catfolk or whatever. Those races are also in lots of other things, but Strix are kind of super Paizo brand.
Yeah, just from seeing them, it seems like this book was, like, really important into the timeline. I don't know if it was having the core setting built in, but for the Inner Sea World Guide, it was, like, a year and a half before that came out after the core rule book was out, and this one's out less than, like, 8 months.
Yeah, but so obviously, we wanted, like, hey, here's some monsters first. We got to give you those so you can play the game. But now you want to play the game in our setting. Here you go.
Yeah, it's just refreshing. It's like, hey, here's your dump about everything that you'd want sooner.
Now, obviously, the planets are getting their love in the book. What about some of the factions? Are we going to learn more about the power play inside of the Pact Worlds?
We talk a little bit of here and there about, like, the stewards, and we talk a little bit about, in general, sort of, by giving you these archetypes and a little bit of there's some NPC stat blocks in here. We talk a little bit about the free captains and that. There's some stuff that's baked into the plans. We don't have a separate section describing all of the different factions, but you know, where we all the free captain stuff is in the diaspora. I'm trying to think if there's another one, like the augmented of Verses. We talk about them in the Verses chapter, so they're in there.
Oh, do they talk about those cool Iomedian knights that they talk about at the first volume of Dead Sons?
They're in Dead Sons.
They mention it in the back when they're going over the different layers of how you get into the station.
Oh yeah. Well, we have one of my other favorite pieces of art in the book, which I have to show you as well. I'm just showing it off. Is we have some Iomedian starships.
Oh, dope! I think space paladins are awesome.
Look at that thing. Look at that cathedral ship. It's beautiful. Art. All the art in this book is fantastic, by the way. I just want to point that out. All of our artists on here did an incredible job.
I mean,
can we update the Sunrise Maiden into that?
There's a chance you could put a church on top of the Sunrise Maiden. It might be a very small church. But
okay.
Is this like a Las Vegas get married by Elvis church?
No, this is a respectable church.
This is a church of Mayday, sir.
Fancy church.
Yeah, in my home game, all of my players are playing Knights of Iomedae.
Oh wow!
Wow,
they wanted the theme, they wanted the military, and they wanted goodness. And I'm like, well, here we go.
Makes it real easy.
it's like the opposite of a Warhammer 40K group. There's no good in the Emperor's gaze. So if I am looking to upgrade the Sunrise Maiden with cool stuff in our Dead Sons game, is there anything in this book that's going to give my starship new options?
Yeah, there's a brief bit of starship options right before all the stat blocks, just so we can put new stuff on these starships. Not any new. Well, there's a couple weapons, but nothing. There are no rules to make your starship into a big church. You just can do it if you want. But if you say you really want to have a, you know, what was I going to say? You know, we kind of didn't necessarily have this in the core rulebook, but a brig for your starship, you can put that in there. A lot of these are really specific to the types of starships you'll find. Like, you might not need a hydroponic garden on your starship, but if you want to have it because you're a member of the Xeno Wardens and like to have your trees out in space, there you go.
James, can we have a brig?
No. The ship is prison anyway. You guys are fine. You don't gotta worry about it.
All you need to do is you get your standard form 17L, but where it says machine gun, put church.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Your priest of Triune is just going to turn it into a worship center for Triune anyway.
That's true. We're probably going to get the church upgrade.
Made in the Sweatshop from chat wants to know, are there any more Space Fae?
Are there? There will be.
Ooh, will
oh,
be.
Oh, gosh.
I'll just say that.
Something to tease you with. I kind of liked in Alien Archive, there was the core reactor nuclear Fae. Because, that's just nuts.
That was basically the idea. So a dryad, but for space engines. Sure.
There's no way on Earth that can go wrong, especially since you're nowhere near Earth. All right.
I mean, as long as she's got immunity to radiation, she's probably okay.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some deep space gremlins.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Stay tuned.
Oh, goodness. Lots of teasing.
Can you imagine if you had gremlins that, hopped onto starships and then just, gave everyone in the crew, the roll twice and take the worst?
If there was Pugwampies there, you just sink the ship because the ship is still in prison. You can't open the door. You can't roll high enough.
Oh. Now, are you still salty about that fight in Pathfinder Society, James?
I might be salty all the time. That just might be my state of being. Sorry.
Well, since Alex was wondering about making his starship better and the mention of society, what cool stuff is in here that will help better equip my Starfinder Society or anything that shoots you against?
That's a good one. I don't know what they have sanctioned particularly, to be honest. But I'm just finding something in here that's fine. There's a thing I was reading on the boards the other day, people talking about Pact Worlds, and they mentioned three things in the character options that go together so well that I didn't realize they went together so well. But in a character concept way, not necessarily a game breaking way. There is a sword cane weapon that you can get.
Okay.
There is a kind of cloak that makes you invisible. Obviously.
Like this.
And there are feats called minor stage magic, and major stage magic. And the person was like, I have my character concept. And I was like, oh no, that is the best character concept. Now I need to put more big hats and white gloves, tail tuxedos into Starfinder so you can be the amazing space Merlin.
Amazing corporate space Merlin.
Amazing Mesmero.
When you went sword cane, I'm like, oh, space Quinn, obviously. No, left turn. It's even
Quinn
better.
Quinn in space.
He can kick down starship doors. He's amazing. He's here to serve you a warrant.
The problem is that space Quinn goes and he kicks down a starship door, but he's outside and he just breaches the airlock and everybody dies.
You can serve somebody when they're dead.
We played a game in Starfinder Society where James played the iconic investigator, and James got frustrated with our GM, so he just started kicking down every door that he could find. And so in our area, Quinn has earned the nickname Door Kicker Quinn.
Because that's how he investigates his crimes.
Yeah, that's not easy to do on a starship or anywhere in space. Doors are big and metal. Not the flimsy wooden doors of Pathfinder.
I mean, the flimsy wooden doors got me killed, so.
Well, there you go. Revenge.
He kicked open a door and there was an imp on the other side. It stuck attack him.
It was a short investigation.
Oh, that was funny.
So we mentioned starship stuff. We mentioned planets and factions. What about feats or spells? Anything of that nature for characters?
Oh, yeah. Well, here, we want to help your technomancer. If this gets, whatchamacallit, sanctioned, we do have some fun technomancer spells in here. Specifically, you can turn some junk into some armor.
Oh, wait, are we talking spells? Do I have to walk away now? Because I helped in that section.
No, oh, yeah.
Okay.
Goodbye. What's this in the review, Alex? We're not passing judgment on the book.
I don't know. He told me one of them and they were bad.
No, spoilers. I mean, full disclosure, Alex wrote some parts of this book.
That's true. I've forgotten about that. If I had opened it up to the... That's why Alex wanted me to read all the authors off.
It was totally... He's just trying to self-promote, man. I mean, being suspicious. On... Like, all these podcasts and like 5 million blogs isn't enough self-promotion.
Can I come up now?
Yes,
no,
please.
Stay down there. Stay in the hole.
But we were talking about spells. What can I look forward to spells? Are these like are these distributed like, you know, through the planets and stuff, or is this like a big section called spells?
No, there's a couple spreads in the back. Then there's a whole the player options, except for the themes, are all sort of put at the end of the book.
Okay.
Sectioned off in their own sections. So there are a couple. If you remember from the core rule book, you've got like the healing junk bot and helping junk bot and the battle junk bot. We've got a couple more junk spells, if that's what you want to base your technomancer around. You can make junk armor and a junk sword. I'm actually picturing now that would be a really fun space goblin technomancer theme to use. Just everything junk. And then we, of course, have a new cantrip in here, which is called Fabricate Scrap, which makes that junk for you to use on your junk armor and your junk sword and your junk battle bot if you don't have that junk lying around. That's pretty cool.
A cantrip that makes stuff?
Yeah. That's pretty good. Junk, though. It's only junk.
I mean, it's just like AOL CDs, but I get it.
Sure. I know. And some fun spells that allow you to sort of basically dimension door yourself through a computer. And
well, that's the best thing ever.
Fun stuff like that. Yeah. Controlled atmosphere.
We need to be able to reenact pretty much every 90s teen show. Now, what about the Mystic? Do they get their spellcasting love, too?
Yes. There's some spellcasting love for Mystics. I'm sorry, I remember what they are. If you want to control atmosphere, mental block. Oh, that's a fun one. Seeking Shot. Nice. It does something fun. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Ooh. It looks good. And a full strength-ish kind of spell called Might of the Elikoth. And if you remember from your Alien Archive, Elikoth is a big radioactive elephant from Eox. Yeah. So we're throwing, we're getting the more Starfinder flavor in the names of the spells too, that sort of stuff.
It's better than Bear's Endurance.
Yeah, serious. Bull strength? Bah. I want radioactive space elephants.
Strength, yeah.
So,
we ever get the name of that awesome dinosaur on the front cover?
Yeah, yeah. What's up with you can't just show a space T-Rex and not give a space T-Rex.
I won't say you're never going to see this, because you will. Have stats for this some point. I don't know what it's called, though. I forget what we called it.
Is that in another product that's out now?
Not yet.
Oh.
Now, what planet does it live on? There,
second question. How many thumbs up did James Jacobs give that dinosaur?
I don't. He said it was. He liked it. I think he might have even wanted to give it stats at some point. he might have been the one who gave it stats, actually, I should say.
Isn't that like the highest level of flattery is not the right word. Praise, yeah, that's it. Highest level of praise.
Yeah, and I think these beasties can be found on Castrovel.
Wow, oh, Castrovel, a planet noted for its jungles, rainforest, and elves.
No, we got to get out of there. A+, no, I don't want to fight James. That. Let's leave.
No,
James, let's leave.
No, they are very scared from their Dead Sons trip so far. No spoilers.
I finally learned the downside of being a melee character in Starfinder. It's that I have to stay in melee with the dinosaur. James just played the Jurassic Rock.
You'll have fun with those monsters.
All right. We have a lot of questions in chat that are just sort of general Starfinder-y stuff. Does anybody have any more questions about the Pact Worlds book? While we get to that, if you were to pick one of these planets that hasn't gotten a lot of fun focus yet to base a character on, what would you choose and what from this book would you use to make the great?
Good question. We haven't talked about Eox a lot yet.
It's a fan favorite.
It's a fan favorite. And there are basically a theme and a race. I could just basically go kind of undead heavy on that. Maybe make some kind of spooky mystic.
And for your listeners who don't know what Eox is, it is a planet. Oh, you go for it, Jason. You were
thinking something. Sure. Yeah, sorry. Eox is a planet that had died basically a long time ago because of something they did. Their atmosphere was ripped away, and a lot of people hunkered down underneath its surface. And then when they came up, they're like, oh, no, we can't live here. We'll just have to become liches instead. So they made themselves into liches and space liches and all sorts of undead. And now the planet is basically a haven for those types of people. And they're not necessarily all evil. They're just, a lot of people are just trying to get by, get through their day working, you know, at the flesh vats so that the ghouls can not go crazy and eat the rest of the universe.
I mean, the graveyard shift is
fake
brutal.
Blood factory. Yeah.
Ooh.
I see what you did there. It's all the graveyard shift on Eox.
But
all right. So if I was working in the Starfinder setting as like an employee, right? Which planet would be worse for my boss to be? Would it be worse to be have a space lich or one of the dragon corporate dragons of Triaxis? Like where would my time as having like workers' rights and stuff be worse?
Octon.
That wasn't a choice, James.
Working for Karsai the King. Probably. Are you undead currently?
Consider it the least favorable option for whatever world I'm on.
Well, then probably Eox, yeah. If you're not already undead, you're not going to make it anywhere. There's a glass ceiling, but for people who can breathe, I guess. On Eox.
There's literally a glass ceiling for people who can breathe.
Just traps the air in. It's an airtight glass ceiling. That was weird. Why'd I say that?
Maid in a sweatshop wants to know if Eoxians work the 9-to-5 shift or if they're all drawing their pensions. As if they aren't living.
Right.
Do you get pensions on Eox?
No, they probably have something else. There's no actually retirement plan on Eox. That's the tough part.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it sounds like the dragons are a lot better. I'd like to retire eventually. Even if it's in dragon years.
If there's a chance you could work for a good aligned dragon on Triaxis. There's plenty of those, and they you know, have their utopia companies. They have their...
Oh, they hadn't been all wiped out. It was looking pretty dim for them back in the Pathfinder days.
Well, you know, I'm not saying they're all 100% good all the time, but you know, there might be a few of them.
Yeah, you got like Puff, Charizard.
Yeah. You know, that's a Pokemon.
You caught me.
I know that much.
I just want to see like dragons on Triaxis who like cosplay as humans.
I swear I've seen art of a dragon in a business suit, and I'm not sure where.
Now, I've got a specific place I would like some more info that if you could tease us about, Jason.
Sure. Spill the beans.
When we were first... So ever since Distant Worlds teased this, what's it like to live on the sun?
Ooh. So there is a place, and this is mostly the sun part. The sun actually gets 2 pages less. Fewer than the other 13 planets because there is not as much to live there. But there are a couple of places around the sun that you might want to, you might be able to live, a couple of space stations and such. But then if you want to, if you, I guess if you're cool with the Serenites, they'll probably let you in. It's actually anyone can go there, but it's the Burning Archipelago, which is inside, just inside the sun's corona. And it's, there's got these cities inside bubbles made with technology that no one really fully understands and no one knows who built it. But basically the Serenites found it about 100 years ago in our timeline and moved in. And a bunch of other people moved in. And there's a lot going on there. Lots of different types of bubbles and some espionage going on. There's actually, you might meet an Ifrit from the Plane of Fire. There's a lot going on there.
Is that wizard from Distant Worlds still on the sun, or is he dead?
We didn't talk about him much. He's probably long dead, or gone to come back in the AP for next year. I don't know.
Careful what we say on that subject. I just remember even when we're teasing there. Around, people take us seriously.
He's like Razigal. He could be seeing other suns.
We'll come. We'll log on tomorrow, like after Param like finishes editing and puts this up, and it'll have like 40,000 views, and then we'll see like on EN World, Jason Keeley confirms space wizard next AP, and then it's like no.
It's called Kill the Space Wizard. The whole AP.
Every this book is how the Ring Lords come back.
Oh,
I don't think I want space.
All right, we're coming up on our hour, so one last chance for everybody to get in some questions in chat. James,
yeah,
what are you most excited about for the Pact Ones?
I'm more excited about information from Castroville. I am hopeful that there's Mystic Connections. I haven't seen any of the book yet. Mine hasn't come yet. New spells are always cool. I just like knowing more of the world. Like when I first started playing Pathfinder, I didn't read the core rule book. I immediately went and got the Intersea World Guide and Intersea Gods, And that's how I chose to digest that world and how everything works in it. And the Starfighter Core rulebook was a good start, but I think this helps flesh it out so I can better, you know, serve my players in Dead Sons. I need more names for stores, like space names. Like shooting Starbucks is kind of like my go-to, and I need like a bigger variety, and hopefully this helps.
I have to agree with you, because I loved that there was setting information, and it was really flavorful in the core rulebook, but really just like a lot of the core rulebook, it just left me thirsty for, because there's just like enough to barely get by, but even though the thing is 600 pages, you can't put much more in it.
Yeah. I want to know more about Versus. Come on, give me with the weird eyes and everything, and their weird sit and their super utopia. Give me.
It does seem to be a pattern with you guys of making things weird by putting extra eyeballs in weird places.
Well, those Verthani don't have extra eyeballs. They just have weird eyeballs. They're in the normal place, and they're the normal number of them. They're just all black.
Oh.
Look, eyes are the window to the soul or something like that.
Yeah, but their eyes are completely black. Also, they're weird and lanky.
Mess with them.
Yeah.
What are you excited about, Alex?
I am excited to get more context on the world, because at least for me, I think it's really hard to play a game without knowing about the place you're playing in. So being able to be like, oh, hey, you know, this was a thing that totally happened on this planet in the last 300 years would be super helpful. Like you guys were saying, the base information in the core rulebook is very good for getting you started, but it covers like 300 years and it tends to like all the events go over like all 14 planets. So it's like, there's a lot that has probably happened, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about it. Also, I need more places to go on vacation in Dead Sons.
Oh, the beach wasn't enough?
No, the beach episode was great. We had an anime beach episode.
You had the obligatory fan service episode?
We did. Well, see, what happened was, is like, the guy, the NPC we ran into was like, I need a day to translate these files for you. And I turned to the party. I was like, we could just, like, say time passes. Or we could have the obligatory beach episode now, because we're on Castrovel. There are beaches here. And so we had the obligatory beach episode.
I love it.
They had a good time.
It was great.
Donato Classic asks, what did the Vesk get?
It's Louise in disguise.
Well, we don't talk too much about the Vescarium, because that is not a packed world. Maybe in the future we'll have a Vescarium book. We've all been talking about it. In a way, like, we don't necessarily talk about specific... I wouldn't even say, like, the Kasatha get anything specific in this game, or the Elves get anything specific, or the Lashunta get anything specific in this game, but... you can, as a Vesk, you can take any of the, you know, you can have any of these things. If you want the new types of plasma cannons we got in the back, there you go. Yeah.
If I want to be a Skitterman or Hell Knight, can I?
Ooh. I don't know. Wow.
I think you're relegated to Hell Knight at that point.
Is anything stopping me from being a Skittermander Hell Knight?
No. Not at all. As long as you follow the code.
You sound kind of concerned about this.
Are you here to help? That's the question.
I'm here to help obliterate chaos.
Okay.
I have one.
Okay. Or
you could have a Skittermander and the Knights of Galarian. I'm here to help you find lost Galarian.
Yeah.
That seems more appropriate.
You just have the Skittermander go to like Versailles, just start turning over every rock. Galarian.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you ask them to do.
They're their own monkey's paw.
Main Sweatshop wants to know, have there been any black holes in Starfinder yet?
We do have a little, like, sort of touch on things that are close to these gravitational anomalies like that, especially out in the diaspora. There's a couple sort of spots that are like, hey, be careful, don't go too close to that, because you might get sucked into another dimension or something. But we haven't had any, like, 100%, this is definitely a black hole yet.
I mean, with a fantasy, you know, science fantasy setting, you can make black holes anything. They don't have to be all the Stephen Hawking's black holes.
Sure, yeah, that could be connections to the negative energy plane or something like that.
It could be way cooler.
Or even cooler than that. Yeah. Or even cooler than the thing you're thinking of, James. It's even cooler than that.
I'm excited.
The thing I'm thinking.
I'm going to send my players to a black hole.
Oriana asks... any notable conflicts or threats on the planets that may be advantageous for the Starfinder Society to get involved in?
Thanks. Ooh,
asking for the plot hooks.
there's a ton of these plot hooks in here. Let's flip open a page and see if I spot one. Let's talk about the Adari, the world ship of the... Each section, by the way, just so you know, in case you're curious, talks about, like, society and residents, and then there's a section about conflicts and threats. So each planet has at least... two or three or four paragraphs on the different conflicts and threats specific to that world. So yes, the answer to your question is yes. The end.
No more spoilers.
Yeah, no, because I was talking about this with Alex, or he wanted to see more where the individual conflict lied on the planet, stuff he didn't get in the core rulebook. So that's cool. It's there.
All the conflict, all the bad guys from all the planets band together, and they make a league of villains, and then that's the new AP against the league.
You heard it here first.
Oh gosh, no! What have I done?
Confirmed.
They're going to ally with that Sun Wizard. You're going to be in trouble.
No, he's the leader. The final fight is like him force choking
that league.
And with that cheerful note, it looks like it's about time for our episode to come to an end. Thank you so much, Jason, for joining us. If anybody was more interested in Starfinder Pack Worlds or any of the other awesome stuff that you're up to, where should they look?
Well, obviously, you know, find me on Paizo and look for things that I've written. But you can follow me on Twitter at HersWeston. That's it, just HersWeston. I sometimes check Facebook. You'll find me there. Same name, Jason Keeley.
And with con season coming up, any conventions that our listeners might be able to catch you at?
I'm definitely going to be at PaizoCon, running some fun stuff. I will most likely be at Gen Con. I don't know about anything in between. I will personally be going to Board Game Geek Con in like November. So come play a board game with me. Come on. Let's
all
go.
The board games.
All right. Thank you very much. James, anything you want to shout out to before
we... I keep ramping up your equipment.
I would just like to wrap up the dogs barking in the background, so apologies there.
Yeah.
Anything you want to shout out to, James or Alex?
You go first, Alex.
Hey, did you see that DreamScarred Press is starting a Kickstarter for their Starfinder Psionic stuff?
Yeah, that's going to be cool. I was super glad that they announced they were getting on that, because there's much more love, and I think there's much more room in the Starfinder-y, science fiction-y stuff to adapt the Psionic stuff. And
I kind of feel like Psionics feels more sci-fi anyway.
Yeah. And they've done a fantastic job in the past. I'm looking forward to that. All right, but it looks like we're wrapping things up. Thank you again, Jason, for joining us. Looking very much forward to getting my hands on that book as soon as the mail comes. Because PDFs are not. And until next time, go beyond with no direction.